We successfully got rid of our daughter for another couple of months, okay? So we think it's going to work. Open your Bibles, please, to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We'll start reading at verse number 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. From looking at those passages, seem to be some problems going on there that James addressed. He brings up the idea of having friendship with the world. He reminds them that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. He talks about the battles and wars that they seem to be having against each other. Talks about their prayers and praying for things for their own pleasure. But then verse number 7, James brings a solution to the problem that they may be having there. James says, submit to God. Submit to God. Submit to the will of God. Simple statement. Simple sentence. A simple solution. So that's going to be the subject this evening. Submission to God. Very simple. But sometimes you know and I know, it becomes a challenge. Submitting our total life unto God's will. When you look at the word there, they use their submit. There are several meanings that goes along with it is to obey. To be under obedience. To put under. The writer goes on to say, subdue unto. Subject unto. Be in subjection. Submit self unto. All of those are closely related. Bringing the idea of being in subjection to someone. And that's the way it is to be with you and I as Christians. We are to remember that we are to be in subjection. We are to be in submission to God. And that's a simple lesson, a simple message for this evening is submission to God. Something that each and every one of us are pushing and striving and trying to do in our life is to be not submissive to the way of the world, not submissive to friends and those around us, but being submissive in every aspect of our life to God. See, surrender to God is an essential part of the conversion process, not only of the conversion process, but an ongoing, continuous thing for those who become Christians. That's a daily thing, striving each day to be in submission to God. There's a couple of things that we're going to talk about under the umbrella of being submitted to God, submission to God. First of all, I think about its totality, the whole picture, total. See, God doesn't want parts of my life. God wants my whole life. Every aspect of my life, every area of my life, how I think, the things I do, how I spend my money, where I go, worship, everything, every aspect of my life must be submissive to the will of God. When you go back and you look at James chapter 4 going down through around about verse number 5, you see some of the problem that they're struggling with. But the solution to the problem is, hey, Be submissive to God, to God's will. See, being submissive to God's will eradicate the idea of being friendship with the world. Being submissive to the will of God will eradicate the idea of having battle and fighting against each other. Being submissive to the will of God would get rid of the idea of praying for things for your own pleasure that you don't need. Totality of our lives, that's what God wants. It will be in the book of Matthew where Jesus will say these things. Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus will make a very, very strong statement that I'm quite sure most of the people here would know. He says in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse number 24, he would say, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." What is Jesus saying? Jesus makes it very clear that you can't have two masters. You can't serve God in the world. You can't serve God in money. Jesus says that you have to make a decision. Being submissive to God is not a partial thing. Being submissive to God is the total life that we live. So when you think about the concept of submission to God, one thinks about totality, about whole life, every area of our life. It would be in Revelation chapter 3. Sorry, verse number 14. Revelation chapter 3, sorry, verse number 14. As he gives these instructions to the church at Laodicea, he says, start at verse number 14 of the book of Revelation, he says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Somebody will say, "Spew out of my mouth." Jesus says about the church of Laodicea, there's no halfway about doing it. Can't be hot or cold. Want them to be totally in serving God. And so many Christians want to go through this life where we're going to be partially committed. And I don't want to get too deep into things. There's some things in my life that I like doing. I know they are still sinful, but I'm still going to do them. But you can't live that way. When you look at what the scripture teaches about submission to God, God wants your life totally, and he wants my life totally. He wants me, and he wants you to let go of some things if they're wrong, if they're sinful. Submission to God. There's no in between. There's no halfway Christian. There's no part-time Christian. The idea of being submitted to God is that of totality. Having our lives totally in submission to the will of God. If you open your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. We're at Mount Carmel. Elijah's there and the prophets of Baal is there. God's people are there. Elijah have had it with God's people. They're jumping back and forth. One moment they're going to serve God. One moment they're not. And they're trying to play in between. Elijah placed a question before them in verse number 21 of 1 Kings chapter 18. He says, "And Elijah came to all the people and said, How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Elijah demanded the people, make up your mind. What you going to do? Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve Baal. And they answered him by being quiet. It was caught between the two. And that's not what God wants. Those who are to be servants and in submission to God and his will, he will not allow us totally. Not straddle the fence, as one would say. Now, secondly, when you think about being submissive to God, another very key element, I believe, is that of humility. Of humility. The idea of being humble is not a popular teaching of the world today. How many times have your kid came from school and said, you know, teacher taught us about being humble? I doubt it. From just watching television, reading magazines, being around people, you get the understanding the teaching of the philosophy of the world is be prideful, be haughty, exalt yourself, look down on others, move up. You're your own man. There's nothing greater than you. But just an opposite, the scriptures teach those who are going to serve God, those who are going to be submissive to God and his will, are those who are humble. Humility. Do you know that some of the great men of the Bible who served God, some humble men. Turn your Bible to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. We'll look at one person there. Numbers chapter 12. In Numbers chapter 12, start at verse number 1 and go downward. You find Miriam and Aaron speaking against Moses. Speaking against Moses because of the woman that he married. Then you go on down and verse number 2, they draw this conclusion that maybe God not only speak to Moses, but maybe speak to us and other people too. Why just Moses? And the Bible says there, at the bottom part, verse number 2, and the Lord heard it. A good point to remember is that everything that we say, God hears it. He knows what's going on with you and I. But then in verse number 3, it says, now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. What a beautiful way to explain someone's character. That Moses was humble. Here's a man who stood up for the children of God. Here's a man who led them out of Egypt. Here's a man who stood and fought many battles. And the Bible says here that he was humble. A man of humility. Therefore, by being humble and filled with humility, he was willing to be submissive to God's will. Brothers and sisters, when we become haughty and prideful and boastful, rebelling against God, we will definitely fail to be submissive to God's word, therefore not being obedient to what he teaches. While in the Old Testament, turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. In Proverbs chapter 6, starting at verse number 16, the writer began to list some things that God hates, some things that he abhors, things that that he just do not like. So at verse number 16, it says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him, a proud look. What about a proud look? Proud person, haughty person. Most likely that person is going to be rebellious to God's word. I know in time past there have been people I've tried talking with and they have a very haughty attitude. God can't tell me anything. The Bible can't tell me anything. I know what's right. And you know what? Those very people did not obey the gospel. Those very people were not submissive to God. You and I, as we live our lives and we follow the scriptures, we too must remember to be humble, to have humility. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter talks about humility. In 1 Peter chapter 5, start at verse number 5. Peter starts out by saying, likewise, you young people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Peter encouraged those young people to be submissive to those that are older than them. And then he goes on and say that God resists the proud. But then he says in verse number 6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And that should be philosophy and the thinking that you and I should have. We live our Christian life, that we're going to live our Christian life in humility, being submissive to God's will. Submission to God includes totality, includes being humble. Thirdly, it includes the ideal of repentance. Change of attitude towards sin, to turn towards God and his way, to turn away from sin. The point that I'm trying to make here is that if one is not willing from time to time to repent of sins that he or she have committed, not willing to go before God and ask God to forgive them of their sin, then that person definitely has no idea as to what it means to be submissive to God. That person definitely don't understand submission to God. From the very beginning, when you and I became Christians, we understood that we have to repent. Through humility, we understood the scriptures and we repent, we turn from our sins. We were baptized, and from that point on, we rose up as a brand new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, living our lives, but from time to time, we stumble. We sin. From time to time, we need to go to God, repent of our sins, and ask God to forgive us. That's part of being submissive to God. If you remember in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the very beginning of the preaching to those who would become members of the Lord's church, Peter preached repentance. Then you look down at Acts chapter 17, verse number 30 through 31, when Paul goes into Athens, he tells those people that there was a time, sorry, verse number 30, when God overlooked, winked at ignorance, but now he commands every man to repent. And then you look in Luke chapter 13, verse number 3, Luke chapter 13, verse number 5, Jesus taught repentance. If my mind served me right, and I'm not that old, it was last week, Robin Haley stood right here and preached from Matthew chapter 3 by John the Baptist. For in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John taught those people to repent. Jesus taught repentance. Peter taught repentance. Repentance is a part of being submissive to God and his will. If we are to live faithful lives as Christians, from time to time, we all will have to repent, and press forward. Fourthly and last, when we think about submission to God, well, see, that's our whole goal. That's our goal in life. So rise up in the morning, giving thanks unto God, and trying to live our life being submissive to the will of God, to His teaching, to the things that He wants you and I to do, and avoiding the things that Satan wants to do. If you remember there in James chapter 5, going back to verse number 7, he says, submit unto God and resist the devil. You will live your life one of two ways. Either you will be submissive to the devil and his ways, and they're very cunning, they're very tricky. And there's a lot of people living their life thinking they're being submissive to God, but they're submissive to the devil. Wake up, people. And on the other hand, you will be submissive to God. Submission to God. The fourth and last element of it that brings the whole picture together is simply trust. If I'm going to be a servant and submit my life unto God and be submissive to God Almighty, I must learn to have trust in God. That is to have confidence and be assured of the things that God has said and done and will do. It will be the writer in Proverbs will say these things about trust. Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, let's write verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The writer encourages us, encourages everyone who would read this to put their trust, reliance, and confidence in God. Submission to God, it includes the idea of trusting in Him. Proverbs chapter 37, verse number 3. Psalms 37, verse number 3. The writer was saying, Psalm 37, verse number 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. There's a chapter in the book of Psalms that I'm quite sure many people have heard. And it's one of the greatest chapters about trust and reliance upon God. Listen to what the writer says. Psalms chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How beautiful. But here's the words of one who have decided to put his full total trust in God, who is willing to submit his life to God and trust in Him, that for God to be the shepherd of his life. You and I in this year should
taking that avenue and submission to God is part of putting our full trust in God. Come what may. Deep valleys, high hills, whatever comes, you and I need to be committed to truly trusting in God and His words. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 11, the writer talks about trusting in God and rejoicing, combined together. Those who rejoice, trust in God. Psalm chapter 5, verse 11. And you can go on and on and on looking at verses that talks about trusting in God. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 17. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. The very latter part of that chapter has to do with trusting in money, or running your soul, messing your soul up, and great desire for riches. So he says then, First Timothy chapter 6, verse number 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. It says, don't put your trust in riches that are uncertain, but put your trust in the living God. By doing so, we're being submissive to God. Submission to God. It includes totality, every aspect of our lives. It would include humility, being humble. It would include, from time to time, repenting of what sin may be in our lives and pressing onward. It would include simply putting our trust in God and His words. This evening, you may be here and you may be involved in some sin. You may have a bad attitude, or there may be an area of your life that you know is wrong, but you're holding on to it. You haven't submitted to God yet. You haven't let go. If that be the case, well, you are encouraged this evening to repent. Turn away from that sin. Let God forgive you of it. And you can press forward and move on as a Christian. You may be here this evening, you're not a Christian. You've never submitted your life unto God. You're living your life the way you want to live it. You may think you're having a good time and everything's all free and everything's well, but let me encourage you and inform you, you're on the wrong path. You're setting yourself up for a letdown. Do the right thing. Be obedient to the gospel. Hear the word of God. Believe it. Repent, confess, and be baptized. And not just be baptized. When you rise up, then you start that walk of living your life in submission to the Almighty God. And never be like the people that Jeremiah dealt with in Jeremiah 6, verse number 16. Jeremiah told the people to walk in the old path, walk in the old way. And they replied to Jeremiah, we will not walk in it. There was in total disobedient to God. They was unwilling to submit their lives to God and His teachings. How about you this evening? Are you willing? Are you ready to make things right? Let's sing the invitational song.